W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A Chinese spy balloon is floating high over the U.S. and heading toward the East Coast. The Pentagon now talking about the possibility of shooting it down once it gets over water. ABC News contributor Colonel Steve Ganyard, a former Defense and State Department official, says
they've got to bring it down and bring it down in U.S. waters, and you can bet that there'll be ships down there waiting to pick up that payload to take a look at what's inside. Is it what the Chinese claim, a meteorological balloon, or is it the U.S. claims a spy balloon?
A record-setting Arctic blast, particularly in the Northeast this morning. Dangerous cold, the wind chill reaching 21 below zero in Maine, 22 below in Vermont, minus 31 in Boston. That's the coldest temperature there since 2016. The economy added a staggering 517,000 jobs in January. That's more than double the employment growth of a month prior and far above any analyst's expectations. The unemployment rate fell to 3.4%, the lowest figure since 1969. This is ABC News. An escaped animal has zoo officials in New York on birdwatch duty. ABC's Lionel Moyes has more from New York.
Quite the sight for birdwatchers here in New York City, with a Eurasian eagle owl perched high above in trees. Officials say the large owl has been on the loose since Thursday after someone vandalized the exhibit and cut the stainless steel mesh from the enclosure at the Central Park Zoo. They were able to get close to capturing the owl, which is one of the largest owl species ever, but of course it slipped away. Over the past few weeks, the Dallas Zoo has also dealt with vandalism, leading animals to escape enclosures that were cut. Lionel Moyes, ABC News, New York.
And here's some good news for chocolate lovers. Listen up, the FDA announcing that it's now okay for some companies to claim that cocoa powder reduces the risk of heart disease. The agency saying data shows that cocoa powder that contains at least 4% of the cocoa flavanols could, in fact, help reduce heart troubles. Dave Packer, ABC News.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Many Americans say they don't believe the news they get from mainstream media. Deborah Van Fleet has more now on how news organizations are working to build and rebuild the public's trust.
Randy Essex of the Detroit Free Press offers some explanations for this declining trust, starting with the role he feels conservative radio and television has played for a generation.
The rise of this clearly partisan media is a business model, and part of that model is to sow distrust of established sources of information, whether that be national media or the government. The statement essentially is, believe us, not them, we're on your side.
Essex says other factors include the consolidation in the radio industry, closing of hundreds of local newspapers, and the pervasiveness of social media. He believes even COVID contributed, with fear making people more susceptible to conspiracy theories. He calls rebuilding public trust in mainstream news a tremendous uphill battle, and maintains that transparency and ethics are paramount. Essex adds that editors have an important role to play.
Top editors need to communicate with the public and explain the work that we're doing and counter unfounded criticism of it. When we make mistakes, we have to be transparent about that too. And we need to connect in person and be in the community when we can, because human beings are much more civil in person than they are on the internet.
Essex says the public has some responsibility too, including checking sources and being skeptical.
And the problem is that for a generation, a lot of people have been conditioned to not believe established organizations that are doing real news.
And Essex stresses that, ultimately, journalists show the public their worth through their work. I'm Deborah Van Fleet.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Do your priorities for the country match the president's? Listen live as Joe Biden lays out his plans during the State of the Union address February 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station. Then stay with us as News Director Terry Bell and guests break down and share reaction to the policies the president presents. You can join the conversation too. The State of the Union address live with coverage from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michaels trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michaels Corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Owned health plan providing high quality health care and health insurance services to over 85,000 members living in South Central Wisconsin.
Today we're here with Christina Martin Wright from Arts for All Wisconsin and Tim Markle from The Forgiveness Factor. You are not going to want to miss today's show as we share how Arts for All Wisconsin are supporting those with disabilities like my daughter. That's how we found out about this place. They also support people with memory loss and veterans. And then we also have Tim Markle on from The Forgiveness Factor. He's going to help us with our road to enlightenment as he talks about the power of forgiveness. And we all know that I absolutely need to work on that aspect.
Wisconsin has an estimated 580,000 family caregivers. We do this show each and every week to let caregivers and their families know you are seen, you are heard, and you are appreciated.
Definitely. So let's start today's show with Christina Martin Wright from Arts for All Wisconsin. Christina, can you introduce yourself to the audience, please, and tell listeners what brought you to Arts for All Wisconsin?
Well, thank you so much for having me here tonight. I love to talk about our work at Arts for All Wisconsin. I am the executive director, and I have been here for 4 years. After two decades or slightly more of work with Madison's nonprofits, I've spent those years working for and leading arts nonprofits, and I was aware during that time of the organization I am now so fortunate to be part of, and our paths crossed many times, and the opportunity came up to take a leadership position, and I found my forever home.
Oh, that's excellent.
I read that Arts for All Wisconsin came from a program called Very Special Arts, or VSA, that was a standalone nonprofit organization founded by Jean Kennedy Smith in 1974. Can you tell listeners how the program has evolved and what your current mission statement is?
Yes, we were actually born from that that program that Jean Kennedy Smith started, and we were founded here in Wisconsin as Very Special Arts Wisconsin in 1985. And that is the very same organization that I am here representing today. A few years ago, we changed our name to Arts for All Wisconsin, but we are the same organization, our programming is the same, and our mission remains the same.
That explains a lot for me. That clears things up because well, you're here tonight because, as listeners heard last week, my daughter Nicole was recommended through her IRIS program to take the drum circle over at Arts for All. Yes. And she loves it, absolutely loves it. It's become one of her most favorite activities. That's where she is right now, actually. And so I love it too because it gives me the freedom to be here. But I also have been able to be able, excuse me, I've been able to see them all perform, and it's really cool. And I was wondering why I didn't, I kind of pride myself in being pretty dialed in, and I was like, how come I never have heard of this place? But I have heard of Very Special Arts.
Yes.
Okay. And so, and it was something that I knew I always wanted us to get to, and now we've gotten there. Excellent. Will you tell us a little bit more about what's important to you about your mission statement? Or in other words, what motivates you to get up every morning and do all this stuff?
Well, thank you for asking. Our mission, as I said, remains the same, and that is to expand the capabilities, confidence, and quality of life for children and adults with disabilities by providing programs in dance, drama, creative writing, music, and visual art. Okay, so that's our, that's technically what we do and why we do it. But the thing that gets me out of bed every day and looks forward to our programs in action is the fact that what we're really doing is we're changing lives through the arts.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, I am witness to this. I hear stories from our teaching artists, not only here in Madison, like in the class that your daughter takes, but throughout the state. We truly do change the lives of not only our participants in our programs, but caregivers, other family and support, and the casual audience member who attends one of our concerts or happens across one of our exhibitions that's out in the world, too. They learn so much about what's possible and bear witness to that creative energy, and it changes their lives.
I love that term, bear witness. It's one of my favorites. But, okay, I guess I'm also a little confused. Are you, you're throughout the state?
Yes, that's right. Right. We are a statewide organization. We're headquartered in Madison, where you bring your daughter.
Beautiful facility.
Yes, it is wonderful. But we do have programs in many different cities, and our programs also travel throughout the state. We have exhibitions that travel the state.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. We were very recently in the new Associated Bank building in downtown Milwaukee. Right before the holidays and during the holidays, we had a 30-plus piece exhibition of art by children and adults with disabilities that surrounded the great big Christmas tree that was in like a rotunda lobby.
Right. Oh, mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Yep.
Okay, so there's exhibitions, and then how do people take classes in other parts of the state? Are there also other
sites? Yes, we have choirs that meet either weekly or every other week and then perform for their communities, too. We have them in Appleton, Madison, Milwaukee, Oshkosh, Wisconsin Rapids, and we are forming one right now in Eau Claire.
Oh, you've hit all of our stations.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And yeah. Yes.
Well, great.
So let wait.
We are also, yeah, if I may say that,
please,
for anyone listening in the Appleton area, mm-hmm, we have a fantastic, very active choir there, but we are down a choir director.
Ooh.
So we are actively hiring. It's a paid position. And the number one qualification is someone who loves to have a really wonderful time.
That's so cool.
I would meet that qualification.
There you
go.
But
do you have to be? Do you have to know how to sing? Because that I definitely
it, helps. It really
that
helps.
I couldn't do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. All right. Might not be the one for me. Well, Christina, can you tell listeners what type of programs you have for those with disabilities?
Yes, absolutely. We work with people and offer programs for people 3 years old to throughout their lifespan. We teach classes in all of these different art forms. Again, we have the choirs, too, so we have some performance opportunities. We also have a free and very accessible program called that is our annual Call for Art, and that is happening right now. The deadline is Valentine's Day.
Mm, right. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yes.
Because I've read the email, and I was thinking, oh, I can't wait that I get to talk to her in person and ask her more about this.
Oh, sure. It's a longstanding program that truly does reach every corner of the state, too. So we call out and say, hey, everybody, anybody 5 years old and up who identifies as having a disability, though there's no litmus test, there's no proof required, no doctor's note, to send in up to two pieces of original artwork And it, you don't have to make, it has, doesn't have to be something that you make, you know, this week. It could be something that you've made in the past. Mm. And you can either send it to our office or just send a photograph of it to us. And then we exhibit all of the art in person or digitally as well.
Sure.
And in a huge exhibition that's open to the public. And it's adjudicated. We bring in three arts professionals, and they choose some outstanding pieces in different age categories, and we give cash prizes. And those pieces and are exhibited then throughout the state, too. Oh. And not only do we have a call for art, but just today we launched our call for poetry.
Ooh.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So it's the parallel program to our call for art. We ask for, this year's theme is grief, which I think we all have been experiencing on some sort of level.
Definitely.
And then we will publish the winning poems.
Oh, that is exciting.
That is exciting. Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself publishing those?
We'll self-publish.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, mm-hmm. will they go, is it something that people will buy? Will it be a hard copy? Well, or will it be something that is out digitally?
These are all things that we're discussing right now. We've done our call for poetry for the last 2 years, and those winning pieces are part of a visual exhibition. So now with this third year of award-winning pieces, we'll take the 3 years and turn them into a collection. And these, all of the winners of our Creative Power Awards, usually it's a very private ceremony. This year, for the first time, we're opening it up to the public. We'll be at My Arts here in Madison for an incredible celebration. It's called the Creative Power Awards Celebration on May 6th.
Very is that cool. open to the
public? It is open to the public. It is on our website right now. We have dedicated, you know, we're of course dedicated to accessibility, and that includes our ticket price is $15 a person. That's and great. With discounts for groups.
Oh, that's nice. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Where can people go to learn more about this and about all of your programs?
They can go to artsforallwi.org.
Okay.
And you can also follow us on all of the social media platforms as well.
Artsforall.wi.
No, artsforallwi.org. O-R-G.
Perfect. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see it. It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So grab a pen and paper and write that down. Mm-hmm. And did we miss any of the programming? So we've got poetry and
drum circle
right at our location on Madison's north side.
Yeah,
we do teach classes during the day and in the evenings, like your daughter is right now.
Right,
that space offers free parking. Everything is on one level. We do better than ADA accessibility throughout our space. Yeah, and the prices are very affordable.
They're very affordable, mm-hmm. and if you have IRIS funding, I know that also covers it. And it's just been a really positive experience. But there's also art classes happening there too.
Yes, we teach visual art, creative writing, different kinds of music classes. In addition to the drumming, we do music and movement, different instruments and singing together. And we do classes in other people's spaces, too, like the Goodman Community Center, classrooms, like traditional classrooms throughout the state, too.
Oh, wow.
How does that happen?
We have relationships with different districts.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
When our conversation continues, we are going to learn why art matters and what programs Arts for All Wisconsin has to offer for not only those with disabilities, but also veterans and those with memory loss.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun today with a high of 32. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 25. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Highs level off around 32. Dry with temperatures well above average Monday and Tuesday and highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 12.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Christina Martin Wright from Arts for All Wisconsin.
In the last segment, you shared all the programs you have available for those with disabilities, and I was getting so excited. I'm like, tell us more and tell us how you have these relationships. And then I got reminded in the break that there's programs for other folks, too, those with memory loss and their caregivers, as well as veterans. Can you tell us about those programs, please?
Absolutely. These are actually some of my favorite programs. They take place in Madison, but then we also have done veterans programming throughout the state as well, in conjunction with veteran centers. These are two absolutely free programs that we offer. And one is the veterans program. Really is designed for veterans with disabilities, but again, that can be, you know, PTSD, other mental health issues too. Sure. And we have one program in visual art and then another program in creative writing, including a creative writing program that is a one-on-one based program.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And the only way that we're able to offer programs like this, because they are free of charge and really are geared more towards a smaller sized group, just because of, you know, very specific concerns.
Sure.
Is because of sponsorships. And we are very fortunate to have received some corporate sponsorships and foundation sponsorships as well, but we are always open to and seeking funding to support this so that we can meet the need and demand.
And I'm sure that's on your website as well.
Yes.
So we've given everyone plenty of time to grab a pen and paper. So let's go ahead and say that website one more time, if you don't mind.
Yes, it is artsforallwi.org. So artsforallwi.org.
Perfect.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the other program that you had just asked about is our memory care programs. And to be perfectly frank, we have been working with people with memory loss for various reasons and memory challenges throughout our entire history.
Of course.
Right. But very recently, we became Dane County's SPARK provider. And SPARK is a national program. It's a branded program that follows a very specific formula. And what's very unique to this program is that it not only is for the individual with memory loss, but it's also then for the care partner as well.
That's
so
excellent.
It is a dual program And provide some wonderful connections for both parties.
Mm-hmm. Can you give an example of how?
Yes, yes. Well, for one, the Spark program spans all different art forms, which also makes us a unique provider because we do work in so many different art forms. So right now it's the first Friday of the month. Again, it is free. And for example, we had one that was a songwriting class. So we split the group into two parts, and one group wrote the melody and the other or the refrain and the chorus and
sure.
you know right. verses and chorus
right
verses and
exactly
chorus. And they wrote new lyrics to You Are My Sunshine.
Oh.
So we started with something very familiar,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, so more easily accessible to,
yep.
to the memory. And then they wrote their own lyrics and were guided by our staff members. And I cannot say enough about our staff. We have an amazing professional, experienced, compassionate staff.
And because this is a show for caregivers, mm-hmm. I want to make sure I'm understanding this clearly. So when you say they got divided into different groups, this mm-hmm. is both the people that are dealing with memory issues
yes.
as well as their caregivers.
As their caregivers, right.
So the caregivers
it is a
are
partnered class.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So they're participating and it's giving them something to do that's really purposeful.
Absolutely. And it's also connecting them to people who can relate directly to their own experience.
Sure.
So we'd also see that all of our classes, whether they're for children or for adults or, you know, specific groups of people or geared towards a specific disability or a specific challenge, that these are social opportunities. And that is so, so important for everyone, but particularly people with disabilities and people who are caregivers, too. Their isolation in these communities is so profound that I think that part of the changing lives experience that I witness is through the connections that are made and people truly being seen and appreciated.
Well, I could speak real quickly to mm-hmm. that. I know that's why Nicole loves it, because she always is so much more comfortable in a place where there's people like her and she feels mm-hmm. that she's being fully accepted and she can fully accept them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for acknowledging that, because that is such a huge part of it. And I know there's a lot of different avenues that you can go down to support those with disabilities or memory loss and even veterans. Why does art matter?
Oh, I think it's a unifier. It provides so many connections. Art is essential for healing too. And also it shows us what's possible. And that's an aspect of working with people with disabilities who you know, it's so easy to identify the things that are challenging or unattainable, but through art, through music, through dance, through writing, and creation and their own personal experience and mm-hmm. contribution to that, we all can see and they can experience what is possible.
Definitely. And I was going to ask you about how have you seen your clients grow or come alive, but it's clear you're explaining that right now,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And truly one example is I know we're probably going to have to go, but
it's okay.
Through an experience that someone had where a care provider who was there with a client learned that the person that they were with who were attending classes could write.
I saw that video on
Isn't that
on your page. We'll talk about it more
Fantastic.
After this
Thank
short
you.
Break.
Thank
yes.
You.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A Chinese spy balloon is floating high over the U.S. and heading toward the East Coast. The Pentagon now talking about the possibility of shooting it down once it gets over water.
ABC News contributor Colonel Steve Ganyard, a former Defense and State Department official, says
they've got to bring it down and bring it down in U.S. waters. And you can bet that there'll be ships down there waiting to pick up that payload to take a look at what's inside. Is it what the Chinese claim, a meteorological balloon, or is it the U.S. claims a spy balloon?
A record-setting Arctic blast, particularly in the Northeast this morning. Dangerous cold, the wind chill reaching 21 below zero in Maine, 22 below in Vermont, minus 31 in Boston. That's the coldest temperature there since 2016. The economy added a staggering 517,000 jobs in January. That's more than double the employment growth of a month prior and far above any analyst's expectations. The unemployment rate fell to 3.4%, the lowest figure since 1969. This is ABC News.
Rank Seed has been breeding better seeds for generations. Each year, Rank invests tens of millions of dollars to support DNA-level breeding and new trait development. This dedication to research has resulted in numerous insect-resistant, herbicide, and drought-tolerant traits in our lineup. Rank Seed utilizes the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed, tirelessly striving to better serve our farmers. From research to results, Rank Seed is rooted in technology.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bock Day.
It is. It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Wait, was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. I wasn't reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
I was reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. We've just been speaking with Christina Martin Wright from Arts of All Wisconsin, and she was going to finish up telling the story, and I will try my best to say it, but I would really encourage everyone to go to Arts for All Wisconsin's website and check it out, the YouTube video there. There was a woman that made an art project, and she was there with her IRIS provider or care recipient, care provider. And she wrote, I forget his name, we'll call him Jim. She wrote on her art piece, "I love Jim." And nobody knew that she even knew how to write. And
no way.
Underneath, she wrote, "I wonder if anybody loves me."
Wow.
I know. Doesn't that give you the chills?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it sure helps us understand the need for this program.
Yes.
And art.
For sure. And we would love to be able to give deserving caregivers a free caregiver gift box for being the awesome caregiver that they are. If you would like to give a gift box on your behalf to a caregiver that you know, email empowercaregivercommunity@gmail.com and tell us who you would like to receive that gift box, and we will get it in the mail to them.
Exactly. And I actually dropped off one from November today, and Nancy Alar, one of the people we recognize, was like, oh, it continues. It didn't all just happen in November. And so it's awesome to be able to do these opportunities and hear these great stories about what caregivers are doing for their care recipients. And now I am excited to be talking to Tim Markle of the Forgiveness Factor and how forgiveness can change everything. I need some help here, Tim.
Tim, you know what? I have known you for a while, but I did not realize what an amazing journey and resume you have. Can you tell listeners a little bit about yourself and what brought you to your forgiveness journey?
I would love to, but of course, a lot of the good stories start with something not so good. And so growing up in Ohio, I grew up in Toledo, wonderful little town.
Yep.
But I grew up in a home that my dad was an alcoholic. I had an abusive brother, but it just really was rough. I mean, he wasn't a mean guy or anything, but it was getting obvious when I started to grow older, just how much of a hold the alcohol had on him. And I remember one time I'm waiting for him with my mom at a junior high event. And she's like, don't worry, he'll show up. And I'm like, no, he's not going to show up. And if he does, he's going to smell like a brewery and a smokestack, because he was a smoker and a drinker. And I'm like, I don't really care anymore. And she's like, well, that's when she began to think that maybe we needed to move on. They needed to move on from the marriage. So they ended up separating and then getting divorced, which of course I blame my dad for. I grew up just wanting to be anything but my dad.
Sure.
In high school, I would write papers about alcoholism and about being a child of an alcoholic and how to avoid being a child of an alcoholic and all these things. And I was very, very careful and only drank very sparingly in high school, because the one thing I didn't want to be was my dad. And so I basically cut him out of my life, because I got to the point where I just hated him. And I just had so much anger. So then growing up, ironically enough, I decided to have my own drinking problem. So I actually became an alcoholic and started to understand my dad a little bit better through my own disease and when I recovered. One of the things I did was I wrote him a note and said, hey, do you remember like the times that you drove drunk and the time we got into that accident and how scary it was after grandma's house? And, you know, all these things were really traumatizing to me. And his response was, I'm sorry, I don't remember any of that.
Wow.
And so, yeah, here I was stuck trying to figure out how to have a relationship with the dad that I didn't like. He certainly wasn't the dad that I wanted or the dad that I saw everybody else have. Well, then fortunately, I got married to a wonderful person in Wisconsin. And she insisted that family mattered. And so she was going to have the grandkids meet their grandparents, my mom and my dad, even though they were in separate cities in Ohio. And so I had to come to grips with how is this going to work? And so slowly but surely, I found ways to set boundaries, because there was a time when he was still smoking and drinking, but also to find those little ways that we could connect. Well, the fantastic thing happened when he got sober as well. And so all of a sudden we had this recovery in common and we could talk about recovery things. And I learned to put aside what I wanted my dad to be and who I thought my dad should be, and started to look at him who he was right in front of me. And when I started to deal with, yes, this was my past, this was the trauma, this was hurt, but also this is what I did about it. And some of what I did about it wasn't very healthy.
Sure.
So what do I want to do about it now? And now I want to love that guy. And I got to tell you, I didn't have as many years as I would have wanted to learn how to really appreciate him, learn how to love him. He ended up passing away after a stroke. And I have to tell you, when the family was around his deathbed, I couldn't help to think, what a difference this would have been if I had never learned how to forgive him. Mm. It would have been a time of sorrow. It would have been a time of anger. It would have been a time of remorse and resentment and so much pain. But because I had chosen to forgive and built that relationship back up with him, it was a time of letting go and a time of joy that his body was finally free.
Thank you so much, Tim, for sharing that story. I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that can relate. I want to just ask, what is the forgiveness factor and what are you setting out to accomplish?
Sure. So forgiveness factor is this little thing that I started a few years ago because I was finishing up a second master's. Because I just am not, you know, I just do things. Like
but you're a professional student.
I was for a while. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the second master's, you know, you think about 2, maybe 3 years for a master's. So this was 10 years into my second master's. And so it was an extended time. And they said, hey, you have to finish this up. You finished the courses. Now you have to do a research paper or capstone project. I said, well, what's the paper? And they said, well, you write something, you research it really good, and then it gets put on a shelf and nobody looks at it again. I said, well, that doesn't sound too valuable. What's this capstone project? And so they explained what it was. So for my capstone project, I took my faith background, which was a Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. So I took my faith background and I looked at the research that Dr. Enright was doing out of the International Forgiveness Institute. And I overlaid the faith journey with the science and came up with a course that didn't just teach why it was important to forgive, which if you're like me, you knew growing up, told every, you know, every Sunday, you need to forgive. You read it. You need to forgive. Your parents tell you, you need to forgive. But I can't remember anybody teaching me how. And so Dr. Enright's research opened this door about how to forgive. And so I decided, you know, this is something that's worth time. And so I've started to teach some classes at our local health center about how to forgive. I've done some conferences. I write little forgiveness booths. I do audio forgiveness booths on the radio. It's just been a lot of fun teaching people how forgiveness and the qualities, the changes that you can make to make your heart ready for forgiveness, because it's not always easy.
No. And it's funny, Tim, I didn't know you were going to mention Dr. Enright. I've actually was able to meet him and have him in my classroom a few years back. And I love his work. And I think forgiveness is super powerful, right? Forgiveness is something that we all need to explore, but I'm wondering if you could help make a connection for our listeners. What do you think it is about forgiveness that caregivers should be kind of putting in the forefront of their journey?
Well, one of the reasons why I also took this journey is because I too have a son with special needs. And for a job, I work out of the Waisman Center and I meet so many families and I hear so many stories. And I have yet to hear a story that doesn't include the way that somebody let them down or lied to them or made them feel less than or Tim, made them feel ashamed.
And Tim, are you saying the caregivers telling you that or you're saying the people who they're the care recipients?
The families. So both the caregivers and the care recipients can tell me about how the doctor didn't give them the right information. Or how the therapist didn't listen to them.
Now
they said it hurt and it hurt them more. And so they all have the story of pain. And
yes.
They all have the story of this isn't what I expected. And this isn't what I wanted. And what I see happening is they start to carry that around inside of them, which then starts to jumble up inside. But they also continually refer back to it and becomes this touch point. Of, well, you know, he did that or she did that, and I'm never going to forgive him. I'm never going to get over it. And every time they say that, that anger boils right back up.
Of course.
And pretty soon we get to a point where the slightest indication that it's going to be like that opens this pathway in our brain and sends us right down the slide to anger and resentment. And then it like cuts us off from anything good that might be happening because we get stuck there.
And so where does forgiveness come in?
So forgiveness comes in, and we look at those people. And one of the things that Dr. Enright teaches is that we learn to believe that everybody is worthy, that everybody has worth, okay? That there's no baby has yet to be born that deserve to have their humanity card taken away from them. Is if you think about that little infant, they are born just a bunch of potential, a bunch of noise, and really weird smells. Yep. There's a whole lot of smells.
Whole lot of sounds, but you're right, whole lot of potential too.
But that bundle of potential, and then something happens in life. So is there a point in that life where they lose their worth as a human being? Or have we just chosen to take it away from them and declare that they are now a monster?
It's an interesting question.
Pain that they've caused us. Mm-hmm. So we spend time reflecting on what does it mean to be a human? What does it mean to have worth? And do we have worth? Can we instill that worth in others? And most importantly, can we believe that somebody who has hurt us actually has worth? Mm. Or because they've caused us pain, they're now worth less. And one of the things we talk about is, don't we cause people pain sometimes too? And we certainly are not worthless.
Exactly. Well, that covers some of the resentment. And you know, when you feel like you've been wronged, but what about self-forgiveness? What about the guilt factor when you're feeling like you didn't have enough time and you should be doing more and you're not tending to your work or the relationships that you want to
or you lose patience with the care recipient?
Right.
So I have so much guilt around that, Tim.
Absolutely, because it's a bad thing, right? We don't feel bad about good things. We feel bad about things where we look at it and we say, gee, I had a choice and I made the wrong one. I screwed up. And again, one of the things we talk about is the fact that that's universal. That is every single dang person on this earth. It happens to everyone. You are not unique in messing up. And your intention might not even been to mess up. You probably didn't set out to hurt anyone, but you were just pushed to a limit. And maybe you lost it. Okay. Well, what would happen if you walked in on somebody who was just so out of control and dysregulated with their own emotions that they did something they didn't want to do? And you're their friend. You walk into that room. You're probably going to calm them down. You're probably going to tell them it was okay. You're probably going to tell them you understand. You're going to tell them that it happens to everybody. In other words, you're going to show them compassion. Self-forgiveness begins with self-compassion. Is we learn how to look back on our lives and say, no, I haven't done everything perfectly.
Exactly.
But I also am not a monster.
No. And
I have worth.
Yes. We talk a lot about self-compassion on this show, and specifically the work that Kristen Neff has done around it. So I totally hear you there. Wonderful things that you're telling us. And if you want to be able to change your physical and mental health for the better in one easy step, keep listening. We'll tell you how to do it.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Jenny.
It's up to all of us. It's not just up to Democrats. Are we ready to rid our country of this perversion and deception? You know, are we sick of massacres at churches, grocery stores, theaters, concerts? Are we sick of adults forcing children who are raped into pregnancy? When is enough enough that we're going to vote out those fascists?
I'm putting you down for Caller Hall of Fame today. We have to carry these messages, even if the Democratic Party is incapable. You keep it up, sister.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win, we're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 32. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, lows dip down to about 25. High temperatures reach up to 32 tomorrow. Cloudy skies expected. Temperatures well above average Monday and Tuesday with highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 12.
News and talk up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and my name is Kristen, and I'm here with my co-host Liza, and we're having a fascinating conversation with Tim Markle from The Forgiveness Factor. And based on the name, you can imagine that our conversation is about forgiveness, and we're going to keep plunging into that.
Yeah. Tim, I know you're part of the International Forgiveness Institute, which is located in Madison and does forgiveness research in conjunction with the UW-Madison. And I am sure that they have to have studies that include the physical impacts of forgiveness. Can you tell listeners the power of forgiveness, not only for your mental health, but for your physical health?
Absolutely. And so there are studies out there, and two of them that you can find are on the International Forgiveness website. One has to do with cardiac patients who are nearing their end of life. And so part of them went through forgiveness course, and then the other did not. And then they went back and took the other one through. But the results were that even though their circumstances hadn't changed, the patients that had been through the forgiveness education program said that they now had a better quality of life, even though there really wasn't any appreciable change. But medically, they also had better blood flow.
Wow.
After the course than before. So the other study that I like to talk about too is fibromyalgia women mm-hmm. who were abused as children. And not only do we see the effect of forgiveness on less depression, less anger, higher quality of life, they also reported less pain. They also reported actual less symptoms of what they had. Now, when I teach the course, I don't get into a lot of the scientific, you know, this is how that study went, this is how that study went. But what I do talk about is just think about if someone walked in the room right now that you just had a problem with, what's going to happen to your body? Your shoulders are probably going to hunch up. Your heart rate's going to go up. You're going to tense up. And then if you stay that way, what's going to happen? Your muscles are going to get sore. You might get an ulcer. You're probably going to end up with headaches. Maybe you start to self-medicate in one way, shape, or form. Is we all get hurt, and we all deal with that hurt, even when we're pretending we're not dealing with it. So one of the clues that we can have that, ooh, I've got something to work on here, is that tenseness that we can feel in our bodies. And that's one of the ways that we know that maybe this isn't going as good as it could with this relationship. Maybe I need to think about changing my end of it, because guess what? You're never going to change the other person's end. The only end you get to change is yours. You get to choose your reactions. You get to choose your responses. And so wouldn't you rather have a relaxed, non-ulceric, non-headache response to someone? That's what forgiveness can do.
That's phenomenal. And it's real obvious that we can see the physical, emotional, and spiritual component to what you're talking about. Can you tell listeners a little bit more about how they can get in contact with you or get more exposure to this? Like what would be the next step if I was a listener and I wanted to stay connected to the Forgiveness Project?
Oh, man, if this has touched a part of your life and you want to be connected and know a little bit more, The first place that I would say start would be the website, which is www.forgivenessfactor.org. On there, you're going to hear the latest audio forgiveness boosts. You're going to have links to the latest forgiveness, written forgiveness boosts that I've had. But you're also going to have access to any upcoming speaking engagements that I have. Sometime in March, we're going to launch a 4-week mini series on forgiveness. And then later in the month, we're going to have a 6-week course out of Stoughton Health, which will be just digging in and hands-on work about forgiving. And all that information, how to register for those, will be on our website. It also includes a link to the International Forgiveness Institute, which has now years of experience with forgiveness and stories.
Oh, well, that is just excellent. Tim, this has been wonderful. Like I said, I knew I needed to hear about forgiveness. There's a lot of different issues that go on in my life as a caregiver that cause me that angst and that frustration and anger. And I'm really looking forward to digging into. Tell it to me again. What's the website?
ForgivenessFactor.org.
Okay. ForgivenessFactor.org. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you so much, Tim. I gotta say, I feel better. I feel better just listening to you.
Yes, exactly. You do. You have a very soothing and good radio voice.
You
so
do. You make
I know the... your audio boosts are going to be awesome to
yes.
listen to.
You make the world a better place. Thank you so much, Tim.
Yep. Take care. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
And if you want to do more to protect your physical and mental health, join us for our 6-week Powerful Tools for Caregivers course. It is a free offering that we're doing, and you can sign up at the empoweredcaregivercommunity.com. It'll be Wednesdays starting April 12th through May 17th. We're going to do this one in the afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1:30 via Zoom.
We're hoping that people can join us over their lunch hour. Let's say that all one more time. Powerful Tools for Caregivers course, free. Sign up at empoweredcaregivercommunity.com. It's going to be Wednesday starting April 12th, every Wednesday through May 17th from 12 to 1:30 via Zoom. All right, Liza, what stood out for you today in our fabulous show? There's so much.
I know. There's so much. I think in regards to Arts for All Wisconsin, I think it is just the power of art, you know, just the empowerment that it can give those doing the art. And like she said, the community and the social aspect. And I was thrilled to hear that they are throughout Wisconsin. So I didn't know that. And then in regards to Tim, where do you even begin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, forgiveness is such a huge factor in one's own health and well-being. And I can totally relate to that fibromyalgia part. You know, there had been a time where I was struggling and I would go to the doctor all the time. And I think just to appease me, they would give me new labels. Oh, you got chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and some other thing that doesn't mean anything.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
And at some point I thought, you know what? I need to do some work on myself. You know, all tests always come back normal, so that's good, right?
Right.
But something's not right. And I think when I did that deep dive and it resulted in a lot of forgiveness, I had shared with Tim over commercial, I had a similar experience growing up, I did feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes all the difference in the world. How about you? What did you learn today?
Well, for me, what I learned is that Christina is running a really fabulous program, and you can see how much she loves it. I wish our listeners could have seen her face every time she got deeper into the details about what the program is and what it offers. Her face was just lighting up more and more, and just this huge smile. And you could see that it is an organization that is run the right way, because it's coming from a place of love and compassion and support. And that's why my daughter is in those drum circles, right? And we got to hear Jim's drum circle, and we know that it is making a difference for Nicole and for the people in the group. For Jim, when I met him, he talked a lot about his journey and what got him into music. He also deals with disabilities. And then for me, in talking with other parents there. And then with Tim, I just, as I said, I can't wait to dive into more of the stuff that he is sharing, and that I know forgiveness is something I struggle with, and that's it's going to be something that is really going to help me.
Definitely. I would let listeners,
we know that caregiving can be overwhelming, and we're getting the sign that we are out. Oh. You got this, though. And
missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lierley helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.